Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. In spite of my inability, whatever I have been able to hear from the spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, I am now describing in glorification of the Lord by pure speech. For otherwise, my power of speaking would remain unchaste. So I'll just repeat the translation. In spite of my inability, whatever I have been able to hear from the spiritual master, and whatever I could assimilate, I am now describing in glorification of the Lord by pure speech. For otherwise, my power of speaking would remain unchaste. Purport. The glorification of the conditioned soul necessitates purification of his consciousness. By the presence of consciousness, the presence of the transcendental soul is verified, and as soon as consciousness leaves the body, the material body is not active. Consciousness is perceived, therefore, by activities. The theory put forward by empiric philosophers that consciousness can remain in an inactive state is a proof of their poor fund of knowledge. One should not become unchaste by stopping the activities of pure consciousness. If the activities of pure consciousness are stopped, certainly the conscious living force will be otherwise engaged, because unless engaged, the consciousness has no standing. Consciousness cannot be silent, even for a moment. When the body does not act, the consciousness acts in the form of dreams. Unconsciousness is artificial. By induced extraneous help, it remains for a limited period. But when the intoxication of the drug is finished, when one is awake, the consciousness again acts earnestly. Maitreya's statement is that in order to avoid unchaste conscious activities, he was trying to describe the unlimited glories of the Lord, although he did not have the ability to describe them perfectly. The glorification of the Lord is not a product of research, but the result of hearing submissively from the authority of the spiritual master. It is also not possible to repeat all that one has heard from his spiritual master, but one can narrate as far as possible by one's honest endeavor. It does not matter whether the Lord's glories are fully explained or not. One must attempt to engage one's bodily, mental, and verbal activities in the transcendental glorification of the Lord. Otherwise, such activities will remain unchaste and impure. The existence of the conditioned soul can be purified only by the method of engaging mind and speech in the service of the Lord. The Tridandi Sannyasi of the Vaishnava school accepts three rods, representing the vow to engage in the service of the Lord with body, mind and speech, whereas the Ekadandi Sannyasi takes the vow to become one with the Supreme. Since the Lord is the Absolute, there is no distinction between Him and His glories. The glories of the Lord, as chanted by the Vaishnava Sannyasi, are as substantial as the Lord Himself. And thus, while glorifying the Lord, the devotees become one with Him in transcendental interest, although he remains eternally a transcendental servitor. This simultaneously one and different position of the devotee makes him eternally purified, and thus his life becomes a complete success. Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshulun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pramami Haripye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurutiswe Namaha Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Aroj Bhagavan Vajeshataniyas Tadama Vindavanam Ramya Kashe Dupasana Vajavado Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamalam Prema Pumahotamahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatra Dharana Paraha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nichinamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll just repeat the translation one more time. In spite of my inability, whatever I have been able to hear from the spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, I am now describing in glorification of the Lord by pure speech, for otherwise my power of speaking would remain unchaste. Hare Krishna. I like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can say something that would be in line with the Guru Parampara and hopefully benefiting to all of you. Hare Krishna. So it's very interesting in this translation. The first thing that stuck out to me is Maitreya's humility. He starts by saying, in spite of my inability. And I feel this is very significant because humility is a characteristic that we all need to develop, regardless of who we are. At whatever stage we're at, we all need to have humility. And actually, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, as we get a so-called bigger position, if we do not cultivate humility even at a more deeper level, we will fall down. And that's what we've witnessed. So I just wanted to discuss, do we have the roaming mic? Yeah? Okay. So I just want to make this a little bit more interactive. It will not be so much of a lecture, but we will share some thoughts as well. So I just wanted to get your opinion of why do we think humility is important? What happens if we don't cultivate humility? And what examples are there from scripture of how, not how, but where humility was not followed and what were the consequences? So, does anyone want to share something of why? Yeah.
When Indra was not humble, he did not respect Brihaspati, and as a result, the demons ended up conquering the heavenly planets.
He lost his whole, yeah. Lost the whole planet. Good. Anything else?
Paramaharsana Sutta?
Yeah.
He was not humble in the presence of Balaram.
Yeah. That was the end of him.
Durvasa Muni ended up causing Vaishnava Aparad to Maharaj Ambarish.
Maharaj Ambarish. Yeah, very much so. Anyone else? Daksha was also not humble in terms of respecting Lord Shiva. Yeah.
You see, what happened when we are not humble? So, when we are not humble, we are full of pride. We don't learn. And we don't learn, that means there is no scope for advancement. And the example is Duryodhana.
Sorry, the example is Duryodhana. Mm. Yeah, as soon as we think we're proud, we think we know everything. And as soon as we think we know anything, we're not able to use our ear. And that's what is being said in this translation. Because he had the humility, whatever I've been able to hear from the spiritual master, and the next part is whatever I could assimilate. So humility is essential for cultivating knowledge. I also feel that humility is a good barometer for advancement in Krishna consciousness. As soon as we think we know something, we've fallen down. It doesn't matter what aspect it may be in, doesn't matter what who the other devotee may be, they may know more of something than us. It may not be in a particular aspect, but it may be in another aspect. So we should always try and remain humble. And essentially, by becoming humble, we can be instruments of grace. Factually speaking, by our own endeavor, our intelligence, our actions, we can't do anything. As Krishna told Arjun in the battlefield, this battle is already won. The question is whether or not you're willing to be an instrument of my compassion. And the same way, this Sankirtan movement, the Sankirtan movement is going to spread in every town and village. The question is, are we going to be part of it? And in order to be part of it, we need to be an instrument of grace. We can see that our whole parampara, Srila Prabhupada was very humble, and because of his humility, he begged to the Lord that make me a puppet and make me dance like a puppet in your hands. And because of that, he was able to achieve many things. So it was not necessarily through his erudite scholarship, his charisma, his this, his that. It was all due to him willing to be an instrument of the Lord's compassion. And by becoming an instrument of the Lord's compassion, we can see many miracles in our life. Another aspect where I think humility is very powerful is that we see that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he conquered the hearts of many great personalities, again, through his humility. Through his humility, he was able to defeat Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was able to conquer the hearts of Prakashananda Saraswati and the other sannyasi brahmanas, Alvaranasi. And so humility is essential for all of us. I remember 6 years ago, I did my Bhakti Shastri in Mayapur, and there was a graduation ceremony with all the different the different levels, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, and Bhakti Sarvabhauma. So people were graduating from all these various degrees. And I remember one guru was speaking, and he said that at the end of all this knowledge, if you have not become humble, your certificate is useless. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially that's what he was saying. Because if we think we know more, then actually we don't. Because our scope of knowledge of how much we know is very limited. If you compare it to the scope of what we don't know, and what we don't know, it's very big. So we should always try and have this aspect of always being humble. The next thing that, when I was reading the translation actually, is we hear Maitreya saying, whatever I've been able to hear from the spiritual master and whatever I could assimilate, I'm now describing in glorification of the Lord. Have we heard something similar to this elsewhere in the Bhagavatam? Can anyone recollect any place in the Bhagavatam where something like this is being spoken? Yeah.
In the conversation between Narad Muni and Vyasadeva?
Yeah, I think it might be there. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anywhere else? I was wondering if we could go to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.3 on the screen. And this is at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, whereby Suta Goswami 1.2.3, yeah. No, that was the right place. Yeah, sorry, yeah, 1.2. So this is Suta Goswami describing the qualification of Sukadev Goswami. And he's basically saying, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Sukha, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement of the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. So we can see that Sukadeva Goswami had essentially learned this knowledge from his father, Srila Vyasadeva, and because there was that personal assimilation, he was able to impart it further along. Could we go to 1.3.34, please? And in this particular text, Suta Goswami is describing how he himself was present during that assembly of during the conversation of Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, and how during that conversation he was able to 1.3.44. O learned Brahmanas, when Sukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there, in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention, and thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same things as I learned it from him, and as I have realized it. Can we just go to the purport of that, please? I'll just read a little bit of the purport. Just a little bit higher, please. Okay, yeah, that's good. It says there, that is the secret of learning Bhagavatam. Nor can one learn the Bhagavatam from one who is interested, who interprets the text by his mundane scholarship. One has to learn Bhagavatam from the representative of Sukadeva Goswami and no one else, if one at all wants to see Lord Krishna in the pages. That is the process and there is no alternative. Suta Goswami is a bona fide representative of Sukadeva Goswami, and because he wants to present the message which he received which he received from the great learned Brahmana. Sukadeva Goswami presented Bhagavatam as he heard it from his great father, and also Suta Goswami is presenting Bhagavatam as he heard it from Sukadeva Goswami. And Prabhupada says something very interesting. Simple hearing is not all. one must realize the text with proper attention. The word devitsa means that Sutta Goswami drank the juice of the Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or the other, if one hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can surely see Lord Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Okay. So I just wanted to bring out the point that there's simply hearing, and then there's a separate aspect which is being talked about, which is about personally assimilating that knowledge. And clearly, from what Prabhupada is saying there, from my understanding, he's saying that, sure, you can be in class and you can be trying to hear with rapt attention, but actually all the activities that you do outside the temple room, how you eat, the way you conduct, your lifestyle essentially, all these things are having an effect on your consciousness. As they have an effect on your consciousness, it has an effect on the mind, and the mind affects your ability to hear with rapt attention. So it's important for one to be as attentive in all one's dealings, in direct devotional service and in indirect devotional service. One needs to be attentive. Just waiting for the curtains. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki Jai Shri 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 Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai Shri Shri Gauranitai ki Jai Guru Parampara ki Jai Jai. So before we continue discussing the purport of 1336, does anyone have any comments or thoughts on what was being shared? And Radha Govind Prabhu, yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. I was just wondering about the relationship between knowledge and being humble, because from personal experience I've found that when you learn more, you try to share it, when you share things, you kind of tend to become a little bit proud. I mean, I don't really know that much, but it's... it doesn't necessarily make you humble. You kind of stay as you are, or you become a little bit proud. I'm just wondering how knowing more and learning more can actually make you humble. What's the relationship? What's the process?
Sure. It's a good question. Did you have a comment to that? Okay. So I was thinking that I think I've heard either Srila Prabhupada say it or I've heard in a class before that someone says, humility is truthfulness. If we know our constitutional position of who we actually are, then we will be humble by nature. But it's because we forget our constitutional position, that's when we become proud. So that's the link that I got from it, that as soon as we think we are the controller, the proprietor, the enjoyer, then that is fueling that propensity. And then it's very easy to become proud. But if we always remember our constitutional position as servant of the servant, that I'm simply an instrument of my spiritual master's grace, the mercy of the lordships, then one will surely become humble. But it's something, as has been said here, is that we can't simply hear this knowledge. We have to assimilate it. We need to digest it. And by actually digesting what's being said, then we can actually live that life with humility. That's what I understood. Perhaps someone else has a different perspective. Antaranga Prabhu, I think you wanted to say something earlier.
So, knowledge is kind of like a fall down for the brahmanas. That's the concept, that if they have too much knowledge devoid of devotional practices, that's the fall down of the caste of Brahmanism. But on the other side, knowledge means that, as you said, that the analogy, like for instance, the closer you are to the mountain, the more and more you understand the magnanimity of the mountain, right, and simultaneously how minuscule you are as a practitioner. So we see in our devotional parampara, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinod Thakur, in majority of their bhajans, they're very, very much diminishing themselves. Yes. But when we look at their literal practices, correct, and how much they composed, that's magnanimous,
yes,
magnanimous devotees. So what it means is that the connection between knowledge and humility is the closer you are to Krishna and more knowledge you have about Krishna and his unlimited features and nature, the more we understand our perspective,
correct,
that how limited and naturally that emotion of humility comes. So knowledge means proximity, and humility means awareness of that proximity.
Yeah. And essentially, you know where to attribute it to. When you get that knowledge, do you attribute it to yourself? Or do you attribute it to the Guru Parampara, the Lord? The more you attribute it to where it's meant to be attributed, you can remain humble. If you think, oh yeah, I got this really nice point, I got this insight, really was the Lord's inspiration, you know? Maybe we can have one lady share some words and then we'll go to a few of the other men.
I was just going to say, I heard a quote once and it said, humility isn't thinking less about yourself, it's about thinking about yourself less. And it's always stuck with
me. Yeah, absolutely. The classic example is when we're doing some service, oh, Prabhu, I'm not qualified. But technically speaking, we're putting ourselves at the center and we think of ourselves. But if we just accept that actually maybe, because that's what we're praying for, right? We're praying for devotional service. What are we praying when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra? We're asking to be engaged in devotional service. And we're getting an opportunity to perform devotional service. But if we don't accept it, assuming we have the qualification to perform that particular activity, because different activities have different qualifications. But if we reject that opportunity, then we're actually not being humble, because we think, we're thinking we're not qualified. We're putting ourselves in the center. We're putting our ego before, And I think if we sincerely pray at that moment to be an instrument at the Lord's hand, that, dear Lord, you know, just like how our great acharyas are praying, I honestly have no qualification. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But dear Lord, if you so desire, if you wish to empower me, then by your grace, I can suddenly do this. And by that, so many books are written, right? Like the Govinda Bhasya. None of them attribute it to their own ability. They all attribute it to the power of the Lord. So, yeah, thank you. David, probably you wanted to mention something?
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, I understand that humility is the has to precede all knowledge, that it's the basis first, like in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's only through humility then that we can actually get realized knowledge, and not just philosophical knowledge.
Yeah, we need to try and convert that gyan into vigyan, and perhaps we can discuss what are ways in which we can actually practice humility. Does anyone want to share certain ways in which they can practice? Yes? Charlie, Prabhu?
Yeah, I actually remember having a conversation with like a mentor. He was telling, we were talking about humility very specifically and like how to cultivate it. And my suggestion from where I was coming from was, oh, I can think about the bad qualities of myself. But he said, no, like this isn't productive. You know, we look at the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas and they seeming to have this mood of feeling lowly, but that's not very practical for us.
We're not at that stage, yeah. Glorify the specific, yeah. Sure. So Charlie Prabhu was saying essentially we should glorify the Vaishnavas, speak of their quality, speak of the humility that they have, and through that we also cultivate the humility. We shouldn't just think about our own negative qualities, because that's essentially still putting our ego first. That's what I understood. Do I understand you correctly? Yeah? Okay, anyone else? How to cultivate humility? Anyone got Prayojan Prabhu? I think whilst we still getting the mic, changing the battery, you can perhaps share and then I'll try and repeat on the microphone.
Inquire from him submissively, and then to serve unto him. The self-realized soul is the entire knowledge of you, when they have seen the truth. Having obtained real knowledge from the self-realized soul, will never fall again into illusion. By this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are part of the Supreme. In other words, they are mine.
Sorry, in other words? Sorry, the mic's just coming.
Okay. I'll repeat again. Okay. Having obtained real knowledge from the self-realized soul, you will never again fall into illusion, for by this knowledge, the living beings are considered part of the Supreme. Or in other words, they are mine. They are mine in a loving relationship. Mine doesn't mean we belong. It means we belong to each other. Mm. It's a submissive position.
Yeah.
On an equal basis.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu, for sharing. I was also thinking of other ways, and I was thinking that regardless of what position we have, regardless of the position, everyone should at least perform some menial service. By performing menial service, regardless of who we are, that way we can remain humble. I remember one guru speaking that we should not be attached to the service. Be attached to the mood of service. So sometimes you may want to perform a particular service, but that opportunity does not come. But maybe some other devotee tells you, hey, can you do this instead? What's our attitude? Do we say, actually, Prabhu, no, that's a low service. You know, I've been around for 5-10 years. I don't do that service anymore. Or, you know, whatever excuse our mind comes up with. What's our mood? If we become attached to the mood of service and not to the service, then really we can really be an instrument of the Lord's grace. Yeah. Jarashi, probably you want to share something?
I really like this definition that Prabhupada gives of humility.
Mm,
and he says, humility means that you're convinced beyond any doubt there's nothing in this world, absolutely nothing in this world, that not your money, not your family, not your fame, not your gun, not your education, nothing will save you except the mercy of Krishna. Mm. And so slowly you kind of feel that we're really dependable on the Lord, you know.
Mm.
And so then it builds that humility.
Yeah. I almost feel like that's a nice statement to say. Sorry, I'm just being a bit devil's advocate. I think that's a nice statement to say. We've probably all heard that statement before. But how do we actually cultivate it? How do we actually think about it in our day-to-day lives? Does everyone understand what the point that I'm saying? We all hear all these statements, but how can we perhaps...
But they all...
You want to share before we pass it? Okay. Amrita?
Hare Krishna. I think what helps me personally is to practice gratitude, because then we just become appreciative of what we have, and we're not demanding that, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, which I think it helps with humility, with developing humility, just to be satisfied and happy with what we have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think being grateful, like writing a gratitude journal, is helpful because it puts things into perspective. It shows you actually, oh Krishna, what am I grateful for? Actually, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that, I'm grateful for that. Puts things into perspective, and that way we can actually cultivate the mood of humility. Yeah, wonderful point. And I was just thinking, if you think about it in the opposite way, opposite of humility is pride, what are we doing to feed that Ishvara above? The more we're fueling that propensity, the more we're actually moving away from humility. And I feel one of the biggest things is basically one of these little devices. We all use them. And basically, my realization is that this little device is basically telling us that when I press this button, this should happen. I'm the controller. When this should happen, this should happen. When this happens, this happens. It should happen according to the way I want it. And if it's too slow, there's something wrong with it. It's fueling that, Ishvara propensity, then that propensity to control, to enjoy. It's quite subtle, but I'm just conscious of the time. It's 8:30. I think we close at 8:30, unless there are any final comments or questions. Yeah, Prabhu, you want to share something? Yeah, can we get the mic, please? Maybe the last comment, and then we'll end for breakfast. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just considering, you'd mentioned menial service, but I was thinking how taking on these big positions within our movement, or it can seem counterintuitive, especially becoming a guru and receiving worship and so many things, but how actually that can be that much more humble of a service to receive that on behalf of your spiritual master.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wanted to comment.
I was just thinking, as you were saying that, I was thinking of the nectar of instruction. And in the beginning, I think Prabhupada writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent on the attitude of the follower. And it's all about having that mindset. Yes, we may all be doing a particular service, but if we have the right framework, the right consciousness, the way to perceive of it, then it can be beautiful. Then we're actually doing something that's wonderful. But if it's fueling the opposite, you know, I think, I don't know who said it, but I think there's that story sometimes of there's a king and there's a fly on the king or something, and then the fly is thinking that, oh, I'm getting so much worship, I'm getting all of this. Or even say the pujari, you know, like they may be thinking, oh, look, everyone's looking at me. But yeah, we just have that perspective that's not quite right. And if we can just simply change that perspective, change that, yeah, we can really make a lot of advancement. Are we thinking, oh, look, I've got 5 more disciples. Oh, yes. Now I've got, I don't know, more money. Oh, I've got this rich devotee now as my disciple. You know, it's like, how are we looking at it? Or are we looking at it that, I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, is that I treat all of my disciples as my gurus. So now I've got another guru who's trying to teach me humility. So it's all about perspective, I feel. And yeah, if we have the correct perspective, we can really advance in our Krishna consciousness. Okay, jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaura Prem Nandi.